that which is evil, you can expect the wrath of God. Unless your sins are forgiven, unless you are reconciled to God, unless you seek the way of peace that God has provided, you'll experience the wrath of God. But He saved us from His wrath through Himself in providing Christ our Savior. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The way of salvation and the way to peace with God and reconciliation with God is provided through Christ, and that reconciliation and fellowship with God is maintained by continuing in Christ, in the Word of God, in the doctrine of Christ. That we live as He teaches us to live, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. How did we receive reconciliation? Through Christ. Provided by God, the offended provided the way of reconciliation through His Son, Jesus Christ. As you sum that up, we've noticed that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die because we became godly and then He wanted to reconcile us and forgive us. No, He died for us while we were ungodly in hope that we would seek Him and godliness. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We will be saved from His wrath through Him. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of the Son of God. The offended provided the way of reconciliation. The angels announced the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel, that a way of reconciliation was now provided in this infant in Bethlehem, your Savior, the Messiah, your Lord. There is peace on earth between God and humanity because God, the offended, sought and provided a way and means of reconciliation for us, the offenders. He calls us to Him. Remember that Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He's not talking about carrying an actual physical burden, but the spiritual burden of your sin. And you're laboring in your sin. You might say, I know what I'm doing is sin, but I don't want to sin, but you continue to sin. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest." How does that work? "Take my yoke upon you." What is a yoke? Kind of gotten away from that, haven't we? Probably seen maybe on movies and other such things. A yoke, you take two oxen or two draft horses or something, usually oxen. And you put this yoke on them so that they can pull a load, maybe a wagon, maybe a plow. But they're pulling together, and they're trained to pull together. Jesus is saying, "Come and labor with me. Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You're out here practicing this sin, and you're carrying the burden of your sin. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll work with you. We'll be yoked together. Learn of me. Those who train draft horses and train these oxen and so forth, they'll take a trained animal and put an untrained animal with it. And not only is the trainer training that untrained animal, but the trained animal trains the untrained animal. That's the picture that is being shown here. We're so far removed from that today in our culture that we fail to appreciate it. But when Jesus said it, everybody, yeah, that just clicked. Everybody saw that every day. Labor with me. I'm going to labor with you. I'm going to teach you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I will give you rest. You will find that rest. You will find the reconciliation if you will come to me and learn of me and work with me. The offended is pleading with the offenders. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Be reconciled. He invites us to abide in his peace. John 14 and verse 47, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Nations arise and fall, and relationships are established and fall apart. We experience times of peace and times of turmoil. Times of peace are not often enduring. Nations have risen and fallen. Great nations have risen and fallen and will again, given enough time on this earth. The peace that is provided among humankind is often short-lived, relatively. Jesus is saying, "My peace is different. It's long-term. It lasts forever." Why do we love times of peace? Because we're free of trouble. We're free of worry and concern. Jesus said, "Abide in my peace," and there's no reason for concern. There's no reason for worry. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As we abide in Christ, now where does fear come from? Fear comes from, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me. But if you know that you're in the hands and the care of the Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible, God who is faithful in what he has promised and says, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be provided to you," you have no reason to be afraid of anything in any situation. Again, the offended invites us, the offenders, to be at peace with him. He offers the peace. It's up to us to accept it in his terms. Jesus calls upon those who have entered his peace to participate in proclaiming the glad tidings of his peace. We've seen where the angels proclaimed the glad tidings of the peace that God was now offering to all people everywhere. But he calls upon us. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You proclaim this message of peace, this message of reconciliation offered to us by God through Jesus Christ. There are going to be people who are going to be upset with you. There are going to be people who want to persecute you. I'm going to call you all kinds of names. Who are going to want to cancel you? I guess that's the term today. Forget you. That's the way we used to say it. Now it's like, I'm cancel you. And it's gotten pretty serious. It could get a whole lot more serious in the days to come. But Jesus said, yours is the kingdom of heaven. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, because you're doing the right thing, don't be concerned about it. Heaven is yours. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, do I want to carry this message of peace if I'm going to experience all of this rejection and persecution and people saying all kinds of false things about me and misrepresenting me? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Because blessed are the peacemakers. As we look forward to this year and in our increasing in knowledge and our increasing in ability to share the gospel with others, and as we do so, recognize that most people are going to turn a deaf ear to what you have to say. Other people are going to say bad things about you. But recognize that God is with you and God has called upon you to be a peacemaker. That now that you are at peace with Him, He expects you to carry forth the glad tidings of this peace that is for all people. And if they don't hear it from you, they're not going to hear it. In verse 16, Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not everyone is going to persecute you. Not everyone is going to reject you. Not everyone is going to say vile and false things about you. Some people are going to respond to the good news and the good works that you are doing as you live in Christ, reconciled to Him, at peace with Him, and inviting others to be at peace with Him. Jesus teaches us to be the peacemaker when we are the one who has suffered the offense. I want you to see that Jesus, God, teaches us to do what He did. We offended Him. But He moved in such a way that reconciliation was possible. Has anyone ever offended you? Has anyone ever transgressed against you? What is your response? What does the world say to do? Well, forget them. Cancel them. That's not what Jesus says to do. Jesus said, you need to do what I did. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 46, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. If you're going to be a peacemaker, it's going to happen. People aren't going to respond. Some people aren't going to respond well to your call of peace. Excuse me. Thank you, Andy. It's frustrating. I know it's frustrating for you, and it's really frustrating for me. But anyway, pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He was offended and sought the way of reconciliation and provided the way of reconciliation. You're to act like He acted. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors the same? If you just love those who love you and y'all get along real fine, what good is that? What about the people that have, who are lost? What about them? They need to be reached. And you need to be vulnerable. In Matthew 18 and verses 15 through 17, here Jesus teaches, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You are the offended. You act so as to make reconciliation. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Reconciliation. Peace. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more. You still have an obligation to act so that reconciliation can be made. Take with you one or two others, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. What's inferred here, if he hears them and reconciliation is made, good. But if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Each one of these attempts, go personally, take witnesses, take it before the church, those are all actions of the offended in hopes that reconciliation will be made. When it's clear that reconciliation is not possible, then you, as the Bible says in another place, shake the dust off your feet and you move on. Are not we the ones who offended God and alienated ourselves from Him by our sin? And yet, He is the one who revealed our sins to us and calls us to repentance and peace. Where does this apply? Well, it applies in the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ, okay. But it also applies in your family. It applies between a husband and a wife. It applies in the workplace. It applies in every relationship that you are involved in. Someone has offended you, has transgressed against you. You are to be the peacemaker. The offended is to move in such a way that peace, reconciliation can be made. Say, well, isn't there some place where it says that if you come to give your alms and you remember that you've offended someone, then leave your alm there and go and make things right between you and your brother, then come back. And yes, that's true. That's certainly desirable, but that's not what usually happens. There are multitude of passages that teaches us that if we are the offended, we are to move in such a way as to bring about peace, just like God did. In James chapter 3, in verses 13 through 18, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom." Where did he learn that? Abide with me. Abide in my words. Be yoked together with me. Learn from me. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and envy and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Your actions are pure. They're not self-seeking. They are out of love and genuinely wanting reconciliation and peace. They are first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield. You know, to move, when you're the offended and you're the one who's seeking reconciliation, you're seeking the way and encouraging the way of reconciliation, that calls on some humility. You don't think it humbled God to send His Son to die for our sins? Full of mercy, you want to forgive. You're hoping that forgiveness will be realized. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. Well, some people I'll try to make peace with, but other people I'm not to know. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. This is genuine. You're not doing this for show. You genuinely care about others and their position with God and your position with them. Now, the fruit of righteousness, look at this. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is not sown by the unrighteous. It's not sown by the offender. The fruit of righteousness is sown and planted and tended to by the one who desires to make peace, by the righteous. In Romans 12 and verse 18, you remember, Paul said, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Somebody might have made themselves your enemy, but your attitude is an attitude of gentleness, mercy, and peace. As much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Be a peacemaker. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you overcome evil? How did God overcome our evil? With His good towards us, His love towards us. He loved us before we loved Him. It was our contemplation of His love for us that led us to love Him. We are to learn from Him and be like Him. Romans 14 and verses 17 through 19. It's an interesting context. He says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The Corinthians, or the people, have been reducing their fellowship to just being with each other and eating and drinking and that type of thing with one another. I want you to focus not on what the kingdom of God is not, but what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not about antagonizing one another, or even if someone has made themselves our enemy, of us building the wall even higher. No, the kingdom of God is about peace and righteousness and joy. He who serves Christ in these, righteousness, peace, and joy, is acceptable to God and approved by men. He's a peacemaker. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith we may edify, build up one another. Is it easy? Didn't say it was easy. Wasn't even easy for God. Will there be heartache? Will there be trouble? Yep. But pursue the things which make for peace. Put yourself out there. Invite people to love God, to revere God, and to keep His commandments, and to live to His glory. Pursue the things that make for peace between them and God, regardless of what it might cost you. Pursue the things that make for peace. If you're in a relationship that is in turmoil and trouble, you be the one who pursued the things that make for peace. Be merciful. Be lowly. Be understanding. And it's difficult. But speak the truth in love. Go and tell them their fault between you and them alone. And hopefully they hear. Let us pursue the things that make for peace. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of good things. A Savior is born to you. For all men. Is He your Savior? He is the Savior. He is Lord. He is Christ. Is He your Lord? Do you follow Him? Are you yoked with Him? Have you turned from your sin that is weighing you down to be yoked with Christ and to learn of Him, to live for Him and glorify Him? If you haven't done that in your life, we'd encourage you to do it this very day. Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to experience the wrath of God. He wants you to be saved. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? Are you baptized for the remission, for the taking away of your sins? Have you had your sins washed away in the blood of Christ? Have you allowed God to speak your sins forgiven in your obedience to Christ? If you haven't done that, why not do it today? This first day of this new year, I can't think of a better new beginning than a new beginning with Christ leading you throughout this year, throughout your life, to participate in the abundant life here and eternal life hereafter. If you're here and a child of God and you realize you're out of favor with Him, you need to make things right with Him, let us pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing this song.